Right into Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Thankful for the service we had this morning. Amen. The many souls and hearts that responded to the altar call. We got so much to be thankful for. And so many things that we just take for granted. Amen. We have a nation where even though folks disagree, they can't stop us yet from worshiping. You know, a lot of places, people don't have this privilege. If you get a chance, stop by and read Brother Robbie Mullinax's last prayer letter. The last time they just got back from China, his last trip, he said they had all kinds of trouble at the border. He said they were nailing them. Right as they started out, he said they have been able to get through. They were nailing them right as they started out. They let a few get through. They thought that they had made it, got through, but they were watching and they followed them. They followed them to the distribution van in one instance where they had 15,000 Bibles in it, if I'm not mistaken. 15,000 Bibles in a van. They confiscated them. Followed them to an apartment that they were using for their warehouse. They found that, confiscated thousands and thousands and thousands of Bibles that they are trying to get into China, into the hands of the Chinese. So, you know, we take a lot of things for granted in America. And stop by and read his prayer letter. It's I could tell he was just really burdened and troubled about what has happened. But you know, in America, we can have the Word of God. We can publicly display and carry the Word of God. We can share the Word of God, but yet we take it so for granted. Amen. Let's be more thankful for what we have and the privilege that we have in serving Him tonight. In Luke chapter 22, this is communion service, and I do want to kind of tie our Thanksgiving message in tonight with the communion service. And the Bible says there in Luke 22 and 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. As you sit down to your Thanksgiving feast this week, how Jesus on his last night with his disciples had a desire to share a meal with them. And it wasn't just any meal. It was a meal to help them to remember. And that's what we do at Thanksgiving. We remember the things that we're thankful for. Amen? We catalog and we account for the things that God has blessed us with. And he said, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you tonight, God, for the great sacrifice that was made on our behalf. A sacrifice, Lord, that you didn't have to make, but Lord, that you wanted to make. That you might redeem us and you might restore us and you might claim us again unto yourself. And Lord, help us tonight, God, as we partake of the communion tonight and as we look to your word for just a few moments tonight, just to remember how good you've been to us. Remember what a great debt we owe unto you, Father, for the great price that you have paid for us. And help us, Lord, to adjust our lives accordingly and to live lives that are pleasing unto you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. The Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, I received of the Lord the commandment for the communion service of what was going to take place. Jesus gave thanks for what he was partaking of. A great lesson for us to be mindful of our responsibility to be thankful for all that God has given us. If God's Son in the flesh in this world seen it necessary to give thanks when he broke the bread, when he broke the food, when he supplied the food to the multitudes, he gave thanks. Amen? When he gave the food and broke the bread and opened the cup and gave him the cup, he gave thanks. He's seen a necessity for thanking his heavenly Father, amen, for what he had provided for him in this life and in this earth and as long as he was in this carnal body, in this temple of flesh, temple of clay. We have a responsibility to be thankful. But he said, I want you to do these things to remember why we had this meal tonight. When we begin to remember and we begin to start thinking, it makes us start taking a look at things and remembering this particular night, remembering this particular instance, remembering what it was symbolic of. We look backward to the old rugged cross. We look backward to the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. We look backwards and we see the Son of God nailed to an old rugged cross, his body beaten and broken and battered, his body just a mass of meat that was hung on a cross to suffer the agony of sin, to suffer the pain that we deserve to suffer in our place and in our stead, so that we wouldn't have to. And his words on the cross, as he gave up his ghost and as he surrendered his life, was, it is finished. I'm glad we can look back to a finished work. Amen. I'm glad we can look back and realize there's nothing else that can be done. There's nothing else that needs to be. We don't need a Book of Mormon. Amen. We don't need a Jehovah's Witness recount of the Word of God. We don't need anybody else's retelling the blessed old story. We don't need anybody else's addition to what God has already done. There's nothing else needed. There's nothing else required. Jesus said it is finished. Amen. God's provision for our salvation had been supplied. God's Lamb that takes away the sin of the world had been supplied. God's retribution had been poured out upon him. And God's plan fulfilled, and Jesus said it is finished. And when we look back and when we remember what communion is all about tonight, we're reminded of the fact that there's nothing else that man needs, there's nothing else that man can do but accept Christ as the Savior, confess his sins and keep them under the blood, and let Jesus fulfill that work that he wants to do in our life, because it's finished. But when we look back at the old rugged cross, we have to look forward. Amen. What did Jesus tell his disciples? In John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you under myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. You know how we know? Because it was finished. Amen. It was finished at Calvary. It was finished when he gave us life. It was finished when he rose from the grave. It was finished when he ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father and to begin making intercession for you and I. And now I'm looking. I look back to the cross. But I look forward to his coming. Amen. When he left, the Bible says, and the disciples were standing there, and while they looked steadfastly toward the heavens as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Praise God tonight. I remember that he died on an old rugged cross. I remember that he gave his life for me. But I also remember that he said he's coming back. I remember that the angels testified that he's coming back. I remember that the apostle Paul said that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, praise God, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. By the Lord himself, he's coming back. He's coming back. Praise God. I'm glad I look back to look forward. Amen. He's coming for me. He's coming back. Not only do we look backward, not only do we look forward, as we read and we see what Jesus has told his disciples here, we're reminded that he died not for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen. We realize tonight that the Bible says, for whosoever. Amen. That means that not only do we look back and look forward, we look outward. Amen. Because there's a lost and a dying world that needs to hear this gospel message. There's a lost and a dying world that needs to know that Jesus died for their sins. There are people in this day and time that can't tell you who Jesus is because they've never heard of Jesus. One of the saddest things in my life and in the time I've been a pastor in this church was when them teenagers were killed down on Carpenter's Point Road. A little boy come in here, his two sisters were the two of the sisters that got killed in that accident. And their little brother was in here and was kneeling and praying one evening. There wasn't no church service. He just wanted to come. I come over and we come to pray together. And I was talking to him and I asked him, and he's about 7, 8, 9 years old. I don't know. He wasn't real old, wasn't real young. But I asked him, I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" He says, "No." I said, "Have you ever heard of Jesus?" He says, "No." I said, "You don't know what Jesus has done?" "No." Didn't know a thing about Jesus. Folks, we need to let our light shine. Amen. We need to remember to let our light shine. Because there's a world out there that's walking in darkness, amen? And when we walk in the love of God, when we walk as he is in love, we walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we can be an illumination to a world that needs to see Jesus, needs to know about Jesus, they need to hear about Jesus. And our look begins to be outward. And our focus is on souls that need to be saved. In Philippians, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And then he goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what did Christ do? He goes on to tell how Jesus died on an old rugged cross. He gave himself for sinners like you and me, and for sinners like in the world that we look out and see today. We need not forget that. We need to remember that. And we need to be thankful to God that one day somebody told us about Jesus. Hey man, there's a couple of them Phelps kids here tonight. I've heard their own testimony. A bunch of little snot-nosed brats used to run around this church, setting the pastor on his toes and on his head, not knowing what to do sometimes. But their own testimonies, because somebody was faithful enough to drive a bus that brought them to church. Someone cared enough about them. I've got to know one of the finest families that I've ever had the privilege of knowing. I'm not saying that caused her here. I'm not saying that to puff them up. But I thank the world of them, their whole family. And everywhere I go, we was in North Carolina. And one of their nieces that has met us knew that we was in North Carolina and wanted to try to get together and have lunch with us. They have become a part of our life. We're bonded. Why? Because somebody cared. Somebody cared. Somebody wanted them to know about Jesus. Somebody wanted them to know that Jesus saves. And they've gotten saved. And I don't know. As far as I know, all of you saved now, aren't you? All of them in church. All of them serving God. Matter of fact, we sung up in Pennsylvania here a few weeks ago, called Peggy, said, well, I told Pam, let Peggy know we're going to be singing up this church up near her. She was right there. Amen. They come out to see us. Come out to fellowship with us. Because somebody cared. Because somebody had a burden. Because somebody had a desire to reach outward and to look outward and to see the need outside of the doors of the church, to see the need outside of their own selves and their own needs and their own desires, and to reach out to someone else and esteemed other better than themselves. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't have to leave heaven. He did not have to, but he willingly came. He did not have to die on the old rugged cross, but he willingly went. They didn't take his life, he gave his life. Amen. And as he gave his life, as we look back and we see that he gave his life for others, we need to look outward and be willing to give our lives for others. Amen. That others might know about Jesus. And lastly, looking inward. Looking inward, we need to look back at the cross. Look back at the finished work of Calvary. And it causes us to look inward and to reflect upon our own state. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you can look backward to the cross and be thankful, because you can look inward and know that Christ sits on the throne of your heart. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're sold out to Jesus, as you look back and you remember what Jesus done, as you look back and you remember the time that you gave your life to him, you have peace. You have hope. You have satisfaction. You have all that you need. But when you look inside, if Jesus doesn't dwell on the throne of your heart, if Jesus isn't Lord of Lords and King of Kings in your life, if Jesus isn't everything than he needs to be. Because for you, he gave everything. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, it says, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." Let's look inward. "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Friends, tonight we remember and we are aware of what Jesus has done for us. But we also remember either the time that we invited Jesus in or the times that we've refused him and turned him away. The time when we allowed him to become our Savior and to finish that work in us that was finished at Calvary. Or we reject him. We reject his sacrifice. We reject his suffering. We reject all that he has given and all that he's done. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. There's no grading on a curve. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's either in or out. It's either yes or no. It's either I did or I didn't. It's either I know or I don't know. And tonight, you need to examine yourself and know where you stand in regards to your eternal salvation. But then we need to examine ourselves to make sure there's nothing in our lives that hinders our relationship and our fellowship with Christ. The Bible says over there in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we stand on our feet tonight and we take a moment to examine ourselves before we prepare to partake of the communion tonight. As you search your heart, I wonder if there's one here tonight and say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. Pastor, I look back and I know my heart's not where it needs to be. Pastor, I know I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never given myself to him. And Pastor, tonight I want you to remember me in prayer." Is there one tonight? Say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. I'm not one of his. And I can't claim the right and the privilege of partaking of this tonight." Maybe you're here tonight, dear friend, and you say, "Pastor, there's some things I need to deal with. The altar's open. Some have already come." Maybe as you examine your heart and you examine your life, you see some things that need to be put under the blood, some things that need to be cleaned up, some things that need to be taken care of before we partake of this sacrament, this sacred ordinance that God has ordained and Christ has commanded. Maybe you need to come and join these who've come tonight.